scripture for tonight is from 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, taken from the New King James. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come.
Good to be with you tonight. Hope everyone had a good, restful, and peaceful afternoon. We have been looking at some specific things challenging us to choose the Bible over the doctrines of men. This is a short series of lessons, and really each sermon has been relatively short. We're just focusing each sermon on one thing. But while this really has to do with fundamental things, basic Bible basics for us, those of us who are Christians, from time to time we need to think about these things. And often we'll preach on these Bible basics so that our young people will be grounded and rooted in the faith. But my aim has been a little different with regard to these, as you know. I have been emphasizing that from time to time, sadly, there are those who leave the faith and go either back to the world or a lot of the times to a denominational church. And I'm just trying to encourage all of us, myself included, never to do that. There have been many preachers over the years who have left the faith. There have been elders in local churches just like this who have left the faith. There have been deacons, there have been those who are seasoned saints, those who have taught Bible class and have led singing and have participated, those who have been at one time very strong, who now sit in some denominational church building and attempt to serve God. And so we need to stop and think about that and what we're doing when we leave the church, when we leave the faith and go to a denominational church. And so I've been emphasizing that when you do leave the church, when you go to a denominational church, not only are you going to a man-made church that you don't read about in the Bible, but you are compromising to the point where you are going to a place that teaches many things that are contrary to the Word of God. And so we, so far, looked at four things. We began, if you remember, looking at worship. And the importance of worship and how we worship God. And that's important because there's a lot of denominations who teach it doesn't matter how you worship God. As long as you worship God somehow, some way, He's going to be thrilled with that. And so you don't have to do it any particular way. And yet Jesus said that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. We must choose the Bible over the doctrines of men. And then we looked at the false doctrine of falling from grace. Most Protestant churches teach that you cannot fall from grace. And yet Paul, by inspiration, says, take heed lest you fall. We must choose the Bible over the doctrines of men. We looked a couple of weeks ago at the simple subject of baptism that so many people are off on. Most, again, Protestant churches would say, you don't have to be baptized because baptism is a work and we're not saved by works. And yet the Bible says that we must repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We must choose the Bible over the doctrines of men. And then on last week, we looked at the doctrine of faith only. Again, most denominations teach that. Most of the churches that came out of the Reformation movement did so, beginning with the Lutheran Church, of course, Martin Luther, opposing Catholicism and all of their outward works, among other things. And so it began to be taught that we're saved by faith alone. And yet the Bible tells us in James 2 at verse 24 that we're saved by works and not by faith alone. We must choose the Bible over the doctrines of men. And so you just need to know, if you ever leave the church, you are going to a place that is teaching that which is not in accordance with the scripture, and the Bible condemns that. In 2 John chapter 1, you remember at verse 9, John reminds us that whoever transgresses and doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ has not God. And so this is serious business. If you don't have God, that means that you are lost. That means that your soul is lost. That means you won't spend eternity in heaven. And there's only two options, heaven and hell. And so this becomes a very critical issue. And I'm hoping that we never again will lose a member to a denominational church. But I'm not naive enough to think that that's going to happen. Hope it doesn't. It's in the realm of possibility, but the fact of the matter is most churches, conservative sound churches, from time to time have people who leave the faith. Don't let it be you. Stay where you are always. Not just here at Brown Street as a local church, but a member of the Lord's church, the church that Jesus promised to build in Matthew 16, 18, the one universal church where salvation is located. Don't ever leave the faith. That's what we've been encouraging. We're going to take a couple of more weeks to look at some specific acts of worship, and then we'll move on to something else. But you could probably tell by the scripture reading here tonight what we're going to be dealing with. Let's turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And here we have the simple truth on giving. Now again, most denominational churches teach error when it comes down to giving. Most denominational churches would say that we have to tithe. And if you're visiting with us and you're a member of a denominational church, that will sound very familiar to you. Because almost all churches emphasize that you have to tithe. And most churches take that very, very seriously. They make it almost something that is enslaving. Like they'll emphasize that you have to tithe, and in some churches I know for a fact, as I've pointed out from time to time, that they will actually check the W-2 forms of its members to make sure that they're giving 10%. And that's a fact. That there are some churches that want to make sure so much that their members are giving that they have ATM machines right in the church building. And they want to make sure that you're giving 10%, that you are tithing. And yet the Bible in the New Testament never teaches that we have to tithe. The fact of the matter is, tithing was a part of the old law. If you were here in our Bible study this morning, then you know that the old law has become obsolete. It has been taken out of the way. And never are we ever commanded in the New Testament to tithe. Instead, we have what Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 16 at verse 1. He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have directed to the churches of Galatia, so do you all, so also are you to do." Now, this is a particular collection. I know the argument has been made, well, he is just talking about one specific thing here. Well, yes, he is talking about a specific thing, but this is the pattern that has to be followed. You remember from our teaching again on Sunday morning, we covered a few weeks ago, Hebrews chapter 8, when the Hebrews writer says, do all things according to the pattern. Well, here's the pattern. Now, I understand Paul is talking about the collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. No doubt about that. He mentions that in several passages, Romans chapter 15, he refers to it. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, he refers to it. He's talking about that here. The point of it is this. When a local church has a need, and it's time to take up a collection, it has to be done in the right way. It has to be done at the right time. He says here that it's upon the first day of the week. And so we have to follow the pattern. We have needs here at Brown Street. Almost every local congregation, if not every local congregation, has needs because we have a work to do, a God-ordained work to do. And that work is threefold, as most of you know. It has to do with evangelism and benevolence and edification. And in order to do that, we have to be financed. So how are we to finance the work of the church? It's right here, the first day of the week collection. Paul's dealing with benevolence here, but whether it's benevolence, whether it's edification, or whether it's evangelism, this is how we gather together the funds to get the job done. On the first day of the week. But did you notice what he says? Doesn't say anything about tithing here. He says on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and to store it up as he may prosper so that there will be no collection when I come. So how are we to give? We give as we have been prospered. Doesn't say again anything about tithing. Just keep in mind tithing was for the Jews. There's a passage that is very specific about that. Turn over to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, and let's turn to the 27th chapter. End of the book. Notice what Moses writes beginning at verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27 at verse 30. This couldn't be more plain. Leviticus chapter 27 at verse 30, it says, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wishes to redeem some of his tithe, he shall add a fifth to it. And every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the herdman's staff shall be holy to the Lord. One shall not differentiate between good or bad, neither shall he make a substitute for it. And if he does substitute for it, then both it and the substitute shall be holy. It shall be redeemed. Now, if I'm not mistaken, some translations, I know this is just from man, but some translations will have in there a heading, the law of tithing. It's not here in my ESV, but I think it is in some translations. But anyway, this is the law of tithing that he's setting forth. Now, notice at verse 34, it says, these are the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses for the people of Israel on Mount Sinai. Could there be any clearer statement than that? Tithing was for who? It wasn't for everyone. It was a commandment that was given to the people of Israel because it was a part of the old law. And so today, what do? We simply lay by in store as God has prospered us. Who determines that? You do. I do. It's no one else's business. You can rest assured here at Brown Street, we're never going to ask for your W-2 form. We don't know, except for those who count the money, nobody else in the congregation knows what you give. It's between you and God. Now, I have to warn you, you better make the right choices. Don't try to cheat God. Give as you have prospered. Who prospers you? God does. That means he knows how much you have prospered. And while no, you don't have to give 10%. I'm quite sure when I put together everything that God says about giving and our love and responsibility and commitment that we should have to the Lord, that if you're giving 1% of your income, you're probably not pleasing God. And so don't cheat God. Don't, as it says in Malachi chapter 3, don't rob God. In every congregation, there are those who rob God. In every congregation, there are those who give more than God expects, and there are those who give less than God expects. But the criteria is you give as you have prospered. Have the right attitude when you do so. You remember over in the book of 2 Corinthians, don't you? Let's turn over there and see what Paul says about our attitude in at chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, and this time chapter 9. And beginning at verse 6, 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and the verse is 6. It says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. See, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot outgive God. And this is not a passage that we should read and think, well, if I give the way I'm supposed to, God is going to make me rich. He's never promised that. But the principle is loud and clear here. God will bless us for giving as we have been prospered. He will provide providentially for all of our needs. Matthew chapter 6 at verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, the necessities of life, shall be given to you. God will take care of you. Paul makes that point over and over again. Listen to me. You'll never go poor giving to the Lord. And so you have to realize it's important. You want to be, listen, it's a principle of life. The more you sow, the more you will reap. And that's true in a lot of different areas of life. But now watch, he goes on at verse 7. He says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. That's your responsibility. Not a group of men. It's not some eldership telling you how much you have to give. It's not some preacher demanding that you give so much. You have to make up in your own mind. You have to decide in your heart how much you're going to give. That's how it's done. But he says, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Like, don't even give only because you think you have to. Now, it's true enough that we keep the commandments of God because we know that we don't want to displease God. And so that element is there. But that should never be your primary motive. Whatever you do for the Lord, you ought to do because of the love you have for him, the love you have for God, knowing all that they have done for you. You ought to feel out of love compelled and constrained to serve God in every capacity. Not just because you're commanded, but because you love God. For God loves, he goes on to say, a cheerful giver. And so I just want to warn you, we don't here at Brown Street, as I've often said, we don't spend a lot of time talking about giving. How many sermons do you remember me preaching on giving? Like, we've been here several years now, and in my records, I probably have 2 complete sermons that I have preached on giving. That's it. And there's a reason for that. We, you know, a lot of times people have to preach on giving all the time, specifically because they don't stick with the Bible when it comes down to the work that they do. They engage in all kinds of recreation and entertainment, and they get involved in stuff that they really can't afford. And so then they have to beg and beg and beg for money. When you just stick with the work of the church, you don't really have to do that. And beside that, quite honestly, as a congregation, and I'm not trying to flatter you, but you all give pretty good. Like we give good here at Brown Street. I don't have to stand up here and harp all the time on that. But at the same time, you do need to be reminded, we all need to be reminded from time to time, that we are commanded to lay by in store as we have prospered. So make sure you're doing that. Make sure you're doing it with a cheerful heart. Not reluctantly at all. Not out of compulsion, but because you love God. But how much are you to give? That's between you and God. You have to decide in your own heart. Tithing, today, when people bind that, that's a false doctrine. But that's just another one of those things. It falls under the category of worship. And most churches, again, will push and promote and preach tithing. You leave the church and go to a denominational church, that's what you're buying into. You'll find yourself at a church that will teach you have to tithe. It's a false doctrine. Maybe you don't think that's as bad as some of the other things that we have talked about, but listen, a false doctrine is a false doctrine. We have to abide in the doctrine of Christ, or what? We have not God. And so what are you going to choose, the Bible or the doctrines of man? Next week, we'll look at a couple of more different specific avenues of worship, and then we'll move on from this. But hopefully, from time to time, we'll continue to preach on these Bible basics, because we want to stay and remain faithful. And we want all of our members to stay and remain faithful in the Lord's church. If you've heard these sermons many times before, that's okay. It's good to be reminded. We want to stay where there is salvation, that is in Christ and nowhere else. So hopefully we'll be an encouragement along those lines. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do that here tonight? It is a very simple process. Like, it's a lot harder to remain a Christian than it is becoming a Christian. Jesus, in Mark chapter 16, Jesus simply said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And listen to me, Jesus meant exactly what he said. You want to be saved? You have to believe that he is the Son of God. And you have to be buried in the waters of baptism. You can do that tonight. The water's ready. In just a few minutes, you can be a new creature in Christ. Maybe you've already done that and you have slipped back into the world. There's a second law of pardon. It's found in Acts chapter 8 at verse 22. When Simon, the former sorcerer, went back to the world because of his greed, he fell from grace. Peter said, "Repent and pray God." And that's exactly what you have to do tonight. You haven't been walking the way you should in Christ, repent and ask God for forgiveness. If you have sinned publicly, come forward and we'll pray for you and encourage you in any way that we possibly can. Help you any way we can. But get right with God. Maybe you didn't come here tonight to get right with God, but you know you need to. Don't put it off. One thing we know, you may not have tomorrow, but you do have right now. Come forward as we together stand and sing.